I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's a Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. The 2025 year is winding down, and this time of year typically has lots of news pieces detailing how the year went for varying entities, plus exploring how 2026 might look. For this show, we're going to dig into that exact topic with Bob Scott, the longtime mayor of Sioux City, who's here in our studio to talk about major ongoing issues for the city of 80,000 people. Thank you. You said yes so quickly to this, Bob, so I appreciate you coming in here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Remind people how long you've been mayor. You've had two eras as mayor. There was some separation in between those, but just explain when you first were and then and how long all that combined.
1990, I served 7 years from 90 to 98, and then I got elected back in 12, so this is my 14th year, so 21st year of being mayor, and I have done 26 years on the council. Of those, 21 of them were mayor.
Right, and who was it? I don't know if the right phrase is twisted, but who planted the seed for you to get on? Why did you first join the council way back when?
Well, way back when, if you remember, it was 1985, the worst farm crisis ever. People were, quite frankly, trapped in their houses. They couldn't sell them. They were financially around here wasn't very good, and I just thought we could do better. I didn't know if I could do better, but I thought it'd be worth a shot, and some friends of mine encouraged me to run, and I took up the challenge. I never thought I'd win, but I did.
And there's more to your life than just being mayor. You have family and then also an occupation, but just kind of talk about your family and your job.
We have 5 kids, 11 grandbabies, and 9 of them live here, and 2 of them live in Omaha, so I get to interact with them on a regular basis, which is good. And we own a few businesses in town. The one that I spend most of my time at is a tax service. It's been going since 1982, and I have a son-in-law involved in that business, so it'll carry on. That's the good news. So, yeah, we've been really lucky and blessed.
Mm-hmm. The name R.E. Scott used to throw me forever because the R is for Bob, I presume, and the E.
Robert E. Everett.
Okay. And you also, the sports team, can we talk about that?
No,
as well?
I sold the band.
Oh, you did?
Back in COVID, when COVID came, and I had, at that time, had found out I had lupus. And although the prognosis for lupus was fine after I finally got to Mayo and they finally figured out what I had. At that stage of my life, I was 67 years old, and I decided that some things I need to take care of because my wife's never been involved in any of the businesses, and you realize that you're not going to live forever. And she got COVID really bad, and it was just a time where we had to make some decisions about getting rid of some things for the long-term benefit of our family. That, you know, nobody could have ran the team without me, and I don't say that egotistically, just no family member was involved, and it has the potential to lose money if you're not careful. So we made some decisions and disposed of some businesses and that, and it was the right time. So
okay. And then again, I guess we'll focus on your mayor position here for the rest of the show, but from what you've come to over the years as being mayor, what do you think makes an effective mayor?
Well, you know, I would say the first tour of duty, I wasn't as good at that as I try to be now. I think you just have to listen to people, and they don't have to agree with you, but you need to be civil when you disagree. And in this hyper times that we serve in, we don't still see that as badly in Sioux City. Facebook, you get beat up a little bit, but you can't pay attention to that as much as some people would like you to. You know, you just got to go out every day and make what you think is the best decision and then live with it. And I've been able to do that and not get, I'm just not going to involve myself in the hyperness of what goes on in the world, because most people in Sioux City aren't that way. It's a great city to serve in as far as the people.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a morning coffee, you have a routine where you go out into a coffee shop here in the city. And I guess I'm just curious, how often do people talk to you? Do you get emails? Do people phone you? Do people just walk up to you because they know who you are? How much do you...
You know, I mean, the good news, the problem with email is they can't tell how you're really answering it all the time. But the best news for me is it gives you a chance to actually think through your answer, that you have an opportunity to try to get the facts better than what you might have them if you just somebody calls you. I get calls quite often. I get a lot of emails. I think I would say for me, that's the way most people interact. But I get stopped in grocery stores and things like that. I would say the vast majority of the people are very nice and very thankful. Now, that's not to say everybody's that way, but again, if somebody has a bad experience with the city, you got to accept some of that, and you have to understand their point of view, and I've tried to do that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Bob. And then one more question for you, Bob Scott, here. Several more, but next one is, what kind of a grade would you give the 2025 year in terms of, like, things that were on the docket to be perhaps addressed over the year, and then what actually, we're sitting here at the end of December, basically, how things went?
Well, I'm not as happy with what happened as could have happened. We had the potential for a very large project, and through a lot of different reasons, we didn't get it. And I don't think we did very well in economic development, but I've been around long enough to know that, 6 months to a year before any election and 6 months to a year after any election, things don't take off like I would hope that they would. We're starting to see some different things come to light now that hopefully will come to fruition. But I wouldn't necessarily give ourselves the highest grade. I think a C+ would be okay. As high as I could go, because I'm disappointed. I mean, I think it's our job to create opportunities for people, and not through our fault necessarily, but it doesn't matter. It didn't happen, and that's disappointing. We've set the city up in a position to grow. We acquired a lot of land in different parts of the city for industrial use, and I think we're poised when things start to break around here. But, depends on who you want to believe, but the national economy is not as strong right now as I'd hoped it would be at this point, I can tell you that.
And just to, point it back to what you just said, were you, I know you maybe can't say specifically, there was a business that almost located here and then it didn't quite happen, is that what you're basically saying?
Yeah, and it was energy dependent, and it was in an area that's served by the REC, and their rates are not competitive, and it kind of killed the project for us. I mean, it was a $500 million project, so it was one that would have made a significant difference in the community, and it's, it is what it is, and we're going to have to move forward and keep trying. So,
okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor Bob Scott. Back for more on this episode of What's Your Frequency with my guest, Sioux City Mayor Bob Scott, and we're looking back at the 2025 year and also ahead at 2026. And what would be the most prominent project that is being carried out at Sioux City? Is it the wastewater treatment makeover? Is that kind of the big one that's out there?
Yeah, I mean, that's an expensive project that's going to be ongoing for quite some time, and it's a project that, quite frankly, the DNR is insisting that we do, those are not the kind of people that you mess around with. You try to accommodate them and do what's best for the community, but also make sure that you're in compliance with the rules of the state of Iowa and the federal government.
And just to go back to the very beginning, so just explain what was it about the current treatment plant, and why is a new one needed?
Well, it was not capacity. There's a lot of issues. I mean, last week, or 2 weeks ago, we approved a project that under the old Floyd channel, because when it rains, it surcharges the sewer plant. We can't treat it fast enough. So it's not just at the sewer plant. It's in line all the way down the stream that we've got to make corrections. But more importantly, it's because we, quite frankly, just need to continue to spend money there that people don't understand. And I get it. But you know, I'm disappointed. We spent about $140 million my first year on the council, and it was a Band-Aid, I guess. And so now we're going to continue. But citizens have to understand that we have high-strength industrial waste, and it wears out parts faster than most sewer plants, and these costs are going to be ongoing. It's not going to be something that goes away, in my opinion. We're going to have to continue to do proper maintenance and do projects in the future, even after this major overhaul is done.
And as we record this early in the week, there's a city council meeting that will occur tonight, and of course by the time this airs it will now be over, but an agenda item for the meeting on December 15th that the protracted lawsuit could, and I'm just reading from the newscast that I did last week, a protracted lawsuit could be resolved on Monday when the Sioux City Council members are expected to approve a settlement concerning past employee actions at the wastewater treatment plant. According to the city release that you guys put out last week, the city, the Attorney General's Office, and the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Natural Resources have agreed to the city paying a $300,000 civil penalty. That's years of negotiation, considerably lower than the original proposed penalty of $6 million. The release said the actions were taken without authorization and do not reflect the standards, values, or practices of the city today. And that was with two former city employees who were manipulating chlorine levels. As we sit here, you presume that will be approved tonight at the city council meeting?
Well, I sure hope so, because there are some contempt items in there if we don't approve it. And I don't really want to go to court on a contempt charge. So it's a long and negotiated process. We were all under a lot of scrutiny, myself in particular. I guess I didn't realize it was my job to go to the sewer plant and make sure they were putting chlorine and that in. And so, you know, I would like this behind us. They did two or three grand jury investigations, and they did a lot of different things. Listen, we were wrong. I mean, I'd like to sit here and tell you that we weren't wrong. Our employees did things they shouldn't have done. It's well documented in court. They were penalized because of it. And shame on us. We probably didn't have the controls in place that we should have had, that employees were allowed to do that. So, yeah, I'm going to certainly vote for it. I believe there will be a majority that will vote for it, and we'll get this part of the problem behind us, and we'll move forward.
Right. In some way, this is like a turning point, like to put this from a decade ago, and now it's building it and such. And the latest, you can maybe correct me, Bob, is $470 million, is that kind of the best estimate for how much this could all cost?
Well, they're only about 60% design, I think, maybe 80 at this point. But it's in the... I mean, it's staged, but yeah, it's going to be right in that neighborhood.
And I think is with the agreement that this should be up and running 2036. We're basically 10 years off. Is the roughly projected finish?
Right. Okay. But you know, you got to remember when I first got on, they had just spent about 110. I think we spent another 140. So people look at this number and say, "Well, this is ridiculous." But we've been spending $100 million or so a year, and you're talking over a 10-year period. So it's not like it's a $500 million lay it down right now sort of deal. It's kind of what we've been doing, but it's at least a concrete plan. That's the only difference. The money being spent is not exaggerated dramatically.
Right.
It's just that we have a plan now that we have to adhere to, and I'm glad we do. Let's get it done and move on.
Right. And there's some pandemic federal money. The American Rescue Plan will pay for a chunk of it, but then also like people's rates were increased.
We're adjusted for it. Yes. And we've already spent the ARPA money. It's gone on projects that we've done. We used to have to add chlorine. Now we do UV. There's a lot of things that we've done that will make the process a lot better.
And then another direction here with this, What's Your Frequency Show, Mayor Bob Scott. There was an election in November, and you'll be working with a heavily revamped city council. Three of the four members will be entirely new, longtime members, Dan Moore, Alex Waters, and Matthew O'Kane. None of them chose to seek re-election. So that was that's a big sea change. So what will the loss of those congressmen mean in terms of like how the council functions?
Well, you know, we had a fairly, I'm the guy that votes no more than the rest of them do, but we had a good council. Nobody got upset. If you voted no, nobody got upset if they didn't win. They're good council members. They did their homework. probably better than I do some days. And they were easy, and people that you had relationships with outside the council. So that's always a change. But, you know, as long as I've been doing this, every 2 years you get a change in the council. I always say you have to play the cards you're dealt, no matter who they are. And the same thing, I hope the same type of relationship develops. They're good people that got elected, and their intentions are to make the city a better city. I mean, you don't run for this, hopefully, for any personal reasons. You run for it because you have a desire to make the city better, and I hope that they do, and I think that they do. So I think we'll be just fine.
Okay, thank you. And so that leaves the one holdover member is Julie Shaner, and then the three new people, it's Rick Bertrand, it's Ike Rayford, and Craig Berenstein. Bertrand in particular was very sharp in his, he used the word sharp a couple times at those forums that I was at, on his criticism of how city government functions. You don't foresee any problems with working with Rick Bertrand?
Well, I've known Rick Bertrand. I've known his dad. I mean, his dad's passed away, but I knew his dad back in 1969. We worked together at Mid-America Energy, so I've known the Bertrand family for a long time. And, you know, the one thing that Rick will learn, like we all have to learn, is it takes three votes to do much of anything, and it still takes a relationship with other members to accomplish very much. And he'll learn that. He's a smart guy. He's not going to have a problem. I mean, everybody's got to do what they got to do to start, and then reality sits in. If I can't get three votes, it doesn't make any difference. And that's for all of us. It's not just for Rick. I mean, I have had to learn that early in the process too. And so I'm always my glass is always half full, and I believe that things will be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Ike Rayford pretty well?
I know Ike reasonably well. He's a really good, decent human being. He'll be a good council member, I would think. I don't know Craig as well. I know Craig. We've had a nice talk. He came to my office, and we had a nice talk. And I think, you know, he's got past experience. He's got some institutional knowledge. Guy that, again, just wants to make the city a better place. I don't know how you can argue with that. So
okay. And then I want to hit a couple issues that were brought up during the during the election cycle. One of them is homelessness. Rick Bertrand and one of the guys who didn't win was really hammering about that there's some changes are needed. How do you assess the homeless situation in Sioux City, and if there can be more done, or do you feel like the city has done pretty well?
No, I don't think the city's done very well, but we're one of hundreds of cities in the United States that hasn't done very well with the homeless issue. I think, you know, they were going to ship a lot of homeless people out. Well, number one, I don't know how you can legally do that. Number two, we've had a plan.
Being homeless, that's not a crime, being homeless.
Right. And we've had a plan that we have money in through the homeless money, that if somebody comes to our city staff and says, I'm from Oklahoma City, I have a family there, I'd like to get back, we will buy them a bus ticket. We do those sort of things, not to get them out of our community necessarily, but if they've got a safety net somewhere else and they want to go to that safety net, why would we not spend a couple $100 on a bus ticket to allow them to get back home and to get off the streets and that? So we've had that. We've spent a lot of money on the homeless coordinators that are doing a reasonably good job. What people have to realize is some people choose to be homeless. That's their lifestyle. They don't want to change. Well, how do you change people that don't want to change? And that's the problem more, I think, than anything. There are people that are fine living in the warming shelter. And as much as we would like them to be more like you and I, it's just not in their DNA yet. Mm-hmm. So we've got to continue to have our housing coordinators and the Hope Street and all those programs that are in place. We're doing some units up on about 13th and Grandview Douglas that hopefully will make that transitional housing more available in that. So we're going to continue to work on it, but there's no magic wand. If there was, somebody else would have solved this problem. And, you know, you don't have to pick up any paper in any town to find out that it's a problem everywhere. So it's just you know, the biggest problem for me is mental health. The state does nothing, in my opinion, to protect those people and to get them better. We just let them roam the streets, and it bothers me that somehow that's a city function, which it's never been. That's a state and county function. We used to have the county home, and it wasn't to warehouse people. It was to give them an opportunity to try to get mentally more stable, and we just don't have that anymore. It's a tragedy, in my opinion.
And the voice you're hearing here on What's the Frequency is Mayor Bob Scott, and there's agencies that are not city-owned, you know, so like the Warming Shelter and others that you're working with. But what city department has the employee that is maybe scrutinizing or working the most with homeless people? Is it
Jill Wunderscheid and her group? We moved them to the Martin Luther King parking garage because it's out of City Hall, because some people never want to come to City Hall for any reason, which I understand. And so they are operating out there. I think we have 5 or 6 homeless coordinators on the street every day talking to homeless people. And they've made some progress. I mean, they've gotten people from homeless to homes. They've got them from jobless to jobs. They've done some good work. The problem is that you have to want help. And if people want help, there's help available. There's no question about that. I mean, the success of Hope Street is phenomenal. We just need to continue those type of programs. And the city doesn't participate in that, but there are lots of private donors that do. And when there's money available through federal programs for grants, we're going to get in line for that money to help them as well.
Thank you. And I just want to say thank you for having this kind of a discussion, Bob. This, with a couple of the follow-up questions that I've had here on homeless situation in Sioux City, I think a lot of times with newscasts, what people might see on TV or, you know, online, I think just kind of fleshing out and going a little deep with that, I really appreciate the time to flesh that out. So thank you. Back for more on this episode of Western Frequency with my guest, Sioux City Mayor Bob Scott. We're looking back at the year 2025, and we're about to look a little bit into the year 2026. So one way to do that is to talk about the city budget. You guys will set this over the next 4 months up through April. There's been a lot of signaling from council members over recent, and I'm sure you've been one of them, that over recent months that this budget year could be very tight, given some reductions in state payments by the Iowa legislature. Can you explain what some of those lessened state payments or how that's happening or why that's happening?
Well, you know, back when Terry Branstad was governor, I went to his office with another mayor, and because they said that they would replace all of our funds for industrial and commercial tax base so that they could give a 25% reduction. Terry Branstad was, you know, I didn't always agree with Governor Branstad, but he was very adamant that he would never allow that to happen. He would veto the bill because it would take a special bill to do that. And then, you know, when state budgets get tough, they don't cut their budgets. What they do is they cut what they reimburse the city for. And so that's just a natural progress now that we should be getting about $4 million in replacement money that we get none. And the local taxpayers look at us and say, you're just a bunch of big spenders. And half of what our problems are, the promises made and promises not kept. And quite frankly, that's the part about the job that to me wears me out. I mean, the state doesn't want to be a partner with the cities of this state, in my opinion. They do everything they can to make it more difficult for us to operate. But yet we're 70% of the population and at least 70% of the engine that drives the state economically. And it should be a partnership. But, you know, in government, lots of mayors in the larger cities are Democrats. And so we're going to somehow not have a relationship, which I find really disheartening, to tell you the truth. But it is what it is, and we just keep trying to do what we can do to maintain services. You know, everybody wants lower taxes, myself included. But I also want snow pushed off the streets like this weekend. I want my garbage collected. I want that type of service. And so you can't, there's just a conflict there that you can't ever balance, unfortunately, because people still want all the services. They just want to pay less for them. Well, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen. And the majority of the people really do know it's not going to happen. But, it's just an ongoing process.
Okay. The one thing I've heard of people talk about is fear to the city library system. So there's, the main downtown library, there's the branch in Morningside, and then there's also the branch on Marketplace, I guess, along Hamilton Boulevard. Any thoughts on how that's looking this year for will the library be able to be status quo as is, or might there be something coming
up? Well, they offered up some changes with the one over on
Hamilton,
and we're probably going to have to take a serious look at that, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
They've got one employee question mark. I thought we should have handled that before the budget process, but we didn't. And so we accepted what their recommendation was at this time. It's not really their recommendation. I don't want anybody to believe that, but they accepted a modified deal for right now. I mean, the problem is you have police, fire taking about 78% to 80% of your budget. There's not a lot left over for those type of services, and I'm going to continue to fight for those, only because I think you can shut your symphony down, you can shut the municipal band down, you can close a branch in the library, you can do a lot of that stuff, but what's your city look like when it's all done? I mean, you have to be willing. Listen, I don't go to the symphony. I rarely go to the band concerts, okay? But that doesn't mean they're not terribly important. I go to the art center when kids get awards, okay? But that doesn't mean that's not terribly important to a community. And you have to realize that you can get out of all of those type of businesses, but at the end of the day, when 80% of your budget's going for public safety, which I'm not arguing about, that's not important. It's terribly important. But some of the other amenities that affect people are also important. So you're not going to be able to cut the taxes so dramatic on any one person that it's going to make a big difference. But you cut those services and it makes a huge difference in your community.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shows this year was going down to the riverfront, and I spent about 45 minutes and I just walked and talked down there. That was so fun as the seasons. Because I saw it fall of 2024, how much that was being used, and I knew I wanted to do a full show for that.
We had that plan in 1998, and I left, and they didn't do one thing on that river. That's why I ran again. It bothered the heck out of me that all the available grants, because most of that's grant money, all the available grants that you could get, and they didn't take advantage of them for 14 years. And that's the single biggest reason I ran 14 years ago, is because we were not investing in those type of things, and I think it's a tragedy.
Okay. And I guess where I was going, Bob, was, as you were talking about those, the symphony and all these, band shell and all these things, I guess what you're referencing is a quality of life and a breadth of life. And I guess I wanted you to take the long view. So if you look back 20 years, 15 years, 25 years, is Sioux City more broadly culturally growing, would you say, with all those things?
Well, we certainly haven't shrunk.
Okay.
And I think, the Expo Center was a classic example. So a lot of people were opposed to that. And now you've got activities in there all the time. You've got home shows that can finally get all the vendors in one building. You have a lot of things that happen in that building, soccer for kids, softball for colleges, that type of stuff that never happened in Sioux City. So I think we're doing better in that area. We're helping that arena do things again for kids. People don't understand how many motel tax dollars come in because grandpas and grandmas chase kids to basketball and volleyball tournaments and that. It's a huge turnaround, and you have to do those sort of things that have impact not only on your kids but have impact on other people outside your city that bring them into our community. I think the arena is a classic example of how many people come to this community. I mean, just go out there and spend a Saturday afternoon and look at the car license plates, and it's amazing where they're coming from.
Right. One more on budget here, and as we winding down toward the end of this What's Your Frequency show with Sioux City Mayor Bob Scott. You talked about how much of the budget is for police and fire. for operating expenses, do you think, I know it's early, do you foresee that there will or won't be cuts to either police or fire, or any thoughts on where that might go?
Well, I think everything will be looked at, but it'll be difficult to cut public safety. Number one, it's politically not very astute, probably. But second of all, you know, they're making an awful lot of runs. They're making an awful lot of calls. They're doing a lot of, I wouldn't want the job. So it'd be difficult for me. I don't think I can vote to add one. I don't think we should have added a police officer last year, because if you know anything about the police department, if you don't add five or six, you don't cover a shift. So what'd you gain by one? But, you know, I lost that vote, and that's fine. But I don't think you'll see any increase in personnel, unfortunately. But I would not vote for a decrease unless something really comes to light that I don't know about, but I don't see how that happens.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bob Scott. And then looking ahead at 2026, could you point to one or two things that you're enthused about or excited about that you think will come online in 2026?
Well, I don't know if it'll actually come online, but we'll begin the final design. Getting that authorization for $220 million the other day for the guard unit for new runways is a huge deal, because we were really worried that if we didn't get something going by 27, that we might lose that guard unit, which is so terribly important to this community for a lot of reasons. Number one, the quality of the people that are there.
This is 185th
refueling. 185th refueling.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, we need new runways to keep them. And the quality of the people that are there, number one, they're second to none. They're well-trained, but they're good citizens in your community as well. Without that money, we would have a hard time even maintaining a little bit of commercial flights that we have. So we need that runway rebuilt. And it's just terribly important that as a community we maintain that, because what you don't realize is we're going to have to put a fire department down there, because they handle that, which would be a $3 to $5 million a year to maintain a fire station. So it's a big, I mean, that was a huge deal to get that authorized. We thought we might get 148, which would have kept the unit somewhat in compliant. The 220 really gives them a leg up for new aircraft in the future. So that, I'm excited about that. I'm hoping it gets appropriated. Authorized is one thing, appropriated is another, but we're at least appear to be on track to get it appropriated. So that's a good deal. We finally, in the last month and a half, 2 months, we've seen some leads come out of the state, which it was really dry for a long time. Okay. And so we've seen some projects that may come to fruition. I can't say that word today. And then there is a big project that we hopefully will be announcing rather quickly that was terribly important for us to make sure it came to Sioux City or stayed in Sioux City. So,
okay. I don't know how important this is in the scope of what's in Sioux City, but I get asked about this, so I'll throw it to you. The water park, that it's not a city project, but the city has given some infrastructure up there, I guess, kind of by Leeds, the northeast area by Leeds. Is that going to happen yet this year?
Had them in the council. We gave them another year to do it, but they have been, I've drive by, and they have been working, and they have a lot more equipment on site, and they assure us that they're hopeful by Memorial Day they will be open, so yes.
Okay. And just, I guess, anything that we haven't talked about or that you want to revisit and explain a little bit more before I let you go here on this show?
No, I just wish everybody a happy Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and hope that 2026 is good for all the families of Sioux City.
Yeah, that's a nice place to end. So, yeah, that'll be a wrap for this edition of What's the Frequency. Thanks to Sioux City Mayor Bob Scott for being my guest to talk about the year just concluded, and then perhaps some angling into what's going to come down the pike here in 2026. So thank you again. Thank you, Bob.
Glad to be here.
As we move deeper into a second year for the show, thanks for being a part of our station as we work every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week. What's the Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Brett Hayworth.